Well, this morning, we're going to continue our teaching in the area of the power of confession. Especially around in this subject, I guess there's a lot of things that I've sort of taken for granted, the fact that being taught, coming into the kingdom, especially in the area of confession. Confession was enormously taught when I got saved. I am sad to say this, there's many people that came into the kingdom that I time that I did, but they've gotten away from all that. You know, that I don't know why some people thought that was some kind of, well, you know, that was sort of a little babyhood. No, it wasn't babyhood. You need to understand that the kingdom of God runs off of this. In the earth, it is required of out of the human spirit that we confess and bring things to pass. You need to understand, God couldn't save man on the earth without putting his son as a man in the earth. It required it. And he came in the earth and he never said a thing. He never talked, did he? No, he came in the earth and he said, I only say what the Father says. That's all I talk. So he was saying, he was confessing things, but he was confined to what he confessed and said. You know, he never talked about the problems of life. And, you know, do you ever think about it? He didn't complain about the government. You would think if it was really important, it would have been put in the scriptures, don't you? I mean, it would have. but we need, the only people he rebuked was the religious leaders. He didn't rebuke the government leaders. We would have done better if we'd have spent more time instead of rebuking Biden, would have been rebuking a lot of the Christians. But we didn't. But I want you to see this. There's things we need to look at concerning this because the dealing with the areas of confession, the scripture has, we got born again because of what we believed and said. That's how you got born again. Now, what you believe produces nothing till it's acted on. It doesn't produce anything. What you believe isn't going to do anything for you. First, if you don't activate it with your mouth by saying, you got to talk it. Not you know, making a nice little quote about the scriptures and then, you know, never saying it again for the next 4 weeks or, you know. It don't work like that. That's not the way it works. We need to understand there's power because, you know, when I came in the kingdom, you know, there's number one is I really did. I wanted to change life. And I found there was things that did happen to me in changing, and I wondered where it was coming from. But I found this out as I went along, that if I wanted to see change, I was responsible for it. I was responsible for that. That if I wanted change in my life, I had to hook up with God's plan and to start acting in line with that plan. And what was in line with that plan was not just believing things. See, most Christians, when they talk about faith, they just talk about believing. But just believing is good, but it's not everything about faith. You ask most Christians about faith, they'll give you words and things. Well, what does faith mean, to trust or this? But I always ask people, how do the Bible says walk by faith? How do you do that? They can't tell you. People can't tell you. Walking by faith, I'm going to be a good person. No, they don't walk by faith. They're sinners who walk better than a lot of Christians. We need to understand that isn't doing. We want to be nice, want to be good people. Walking by faith is walking in line with the Word, confessing the Word. If you're not a confessor of the Word, you're not walking by faith. Because you can't bring anything to pass. Nothing's going to come to pass. Your first action of faith is to say what the Word says. No matter how you believed on Jesus, you didn't make a confession. Confession's made unto salvation. He didn't say believing is made unto salvation. Yet that's what most Christians believe. That's not how it operates nor works. Confession is powerful. When you and I believe something, and especially this we're going to talk about today, in your heart, I don't care what you know in your head, I don't care what you qualify and think, your mouth must be tied to your human spirit, what it believes. We know this for a fact. Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're not a person that don't speak the Word much and speak in line with the Word, we know this, something's wrong with what's in your heart. What's in, you know what? You can't get a person not to act in line with what's in abundance in their heart. Why do you think all these crazy people are? They call it the Trump syndrome. It's what's in their heart. They can't get away from it. People are like, why don't they stop this? Why don't they quit? Because their hearts are full of it. Why don't Christians walk with God? Because their hearts aren't full of it. Your mouth is determining what's getting into your heart. Your mouth. I found this a long time ago that my mouth has to do, and we're going to find from a scriptures that our confession is a lot is what controls concerning our spirit. See, faith comes by hearing the word. You don't hear me talking all the time, but you hear you. Faith comes by hearing, like Mike talked about, getting into the word. You're going to have to do that. You know, I don't read the Bible silently. Faith comes by hearing. It don't come by reading. It comes by hearing. The most powerful thing you can do is hear the word. Powerful. Powerful thing to hear what the word says. So that's why you say it. Say things. Hallelujah. I get excited. See, this is one of the great benefits of being a preacher and a teacher. I'm saying stuff. And see, I hear what I'm saying. I'm constantly here. I'm getting up and I'm talking and saying. So there's a great benefit in being able to do that. But see, I talk to myself at home. I talk to myself when I run. I'm talking to myself. Hallelujah. You know? Why, if you don't talk, I'm guaranteeing you're hearing voices nonetheless. You're hearing your body talk to you. You're hearing spirits talk to you. There's things coming to your mind all the time. Thoughts and things are running at you all the time. I decided I was going to be the major voice in my life. Decided that a long time ago. I'm going to be the major voice of my life. You're the major voice of your life. Is it good or bad? Your success is dependent on your voice. It is dependent on you, not somebody else's voice. No matter what the preacher preaches. See, I might say all the right things and you say, I agree with that. But what are you saying? This is power. We need to understand. God's power. Faith is released first through your mouth. If faith comes by hearing, it's going to go by hearing too. We need to get on our voice saying things. Now we're going to look at scriptures today. I know we've heard this is nothing new, but turn to Hebrews the 4th chapter. We're going to read something here, because for us, and understand this, these letters that are written here that we have to the church, they are written to us Christians. This is what's written to us. This stuff isn't written to the world. It's written to you. So you and I need to know this thing. I need to get a hold of this thing. We need to put these things in us. Now we're going to read down through in Hebrews the 4th chapter, starting at verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I want you to get this. The word of God has the ability to divide soul and spirit. Psychology does not have that ability. There's only one ability that can let you know what's going on in your soul and what's going on in your spirit. And that's the Word of God. Christians usually don't talk about this because we talk about the dividing of it. But in reality, when you die and go to heaven, your soul, your emotions and everything are actually tied to your spirit. When you go to heaven, your emotions and if your thoughts and stuff, and you didn't train your mind, when you get to heaven, you don't know everything that's going on. You don't understand things. You're going to have to be taught and trained, just like you are here. You get to heaven. If you don't think right here, you don't go to heaven. All of a sudden, you just think everything. No, you don't. You get to heaven. You need to understand, you take this body off, you're not going to have that. But if you don't know things, you're not going to know it there. You're going to have to be taught it. So I gave it a long time ago. I decided I was going to learn here so I didn't show up there stupid. You know, at least wanted to have some kind of diploma when I got there. You know, I just, you know, you don't get trophies for participation in the kingdom of God. They don't happen. You don't get them. You say, well, I've got a trophy. I went to church. Well, you can line your trophies up on your mantle and that stuff, and they'll all still be here when you're there. They don't matter. No, it's we're renewing our mind. But I want you to see what it is. Here's the important thing. Why Mike talked about the word, getting in the word. Here's the important thing. Why? When the last part, the word is what? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? The heart. The word of God is the only thing that can let you understand what's really going on in your heart. This is why we have so much faith failure. Lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Christians can't tell if I'm in faith or it's in my mind. Am I just thinking? People don't know what's going on in their spirit. See, I learned this from start off as a Christian. I got into the Word, and the more I got into the Word is spirit. It's not mental. If your mind dominates, then you're over more in the psychological side of things, and you're much over there. You're not in the spirit. You're not in the spiritual side of things. The Word is spirit. The Word is spirit. It is designed for your spirit. That's what it's designed for. And the only way, if you stay, when I started staying in the Word and just staying in the Word, I found this out. I naturally began to understand what was working on the inside of me. It's a discerner. It says, in other words, you can understand the difference between what's going on in your head and what's going on in your heart. Because this, you cannot operate in faith if you don't know that. You can't speak by faith if you don't know if it's your mind or your heart. You couldn't speak by faith. Faith is of the heart. We're going to look more at that. But faith is of the heart. This is why Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. He is speaking from His heart. God's a spirit. He's not a mind. He's not this big mind out there. He's a spirit being. And if you want to communicate with God, you do it through your spirit. You don't do it through your mind. See, many people pray just out of their mind all the time. They're operating out of their mind. They don't pray from their hearts. They pray out of their minds all the time. Everything's a mental operation, you know. They don't even talk about what's really in your heart. I remember a young Christian, Kenneth Hagin, who had numbers of experiences where Jesus appeared to him or he got caught up in the Spirit. And he said this, you get caught over in the Spirit. And he said, you know what? All the things in your mind that you thought was important that you wanted to ask Jesus about, he said, you don't even think about that when you get there. You don't even think about those. He said, the only thing you think of is what's in your heart. Well, what do you have in it? Have you been putting things in your heart, or is it all in your head? See, when I heard him say that, I started to realize, hold it. We talk about hooking up. Well, I thought, how often do I turn around and do things mentally, and I think I'm doing something spiritually? But I'm not. I'm operating out of my mind. I'm not operating with what is like, God will give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say He's going to give any desires of your mind. Why? Your mind can't produce them, and you can confess what's on your mind all the time and it produce nothing. You understand that? It's what's in your heart that produces that you say. This is why the Christian must know how you cannot be a spiritual person if you don't know what's going on in your heart. See, there's things I'm convinced of in my heart. This is what, see, I learned over the time listening to the right people, and I learned not to pay attention to my emotions because they'll lie to you. I learned not to think what you see and because you know what? What you see and what you think, you know, a lot of stuff has no significance sometime at all, which you think is so darn important. You know, you can't even look at a person and tell what they're really like in their heart by what you see they do on the outside. Most people pray wrong all the time for individuals they're praying for. Because all they do is pray in the natural form about what they see. See, we can't do that. We don't know why. You know, some people are doing things and their motives ain't bad. They may not just ignorant, don't know any better or anything. And we're treating them like, you know, they're, you know, the devil's second cousin and we're trying to, you know, do things. Well, we need to go over, we need to get into our hearts about things. Why? Because that's the place of power. That is the place of power. The place of power is not your mind. See, today, our system and our system runs off everything. Whoever's the mental gymnast, they're the smart people. Man, they're the people that are running our place into the ground. Christians have run the church into the ground out of their so smart. And see, we need to understand this. This is why God knows the hearts of people. We want to look at this. Look what He goes on. We need to know and be able to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. We need to understand that. This is the place of your power. See, you want to, the Word of God is spirit. It's designed for your spirit. You can renew your mind, but you want to renew your mind with the thoughts of your inner man, not the thoughts of what's going on in the outside. It's about on the inside. What's on the inside? You know, you can't go by feelings. You can't do those things. I learned, you know, there's things that you learn in life. You know, people don't learn perseverance, even from the natural, listening to a lot of natural things. You'll never listen to it. You know, I learned that about, God taught me that about running. I would go run long distances years ago, and I'd run these long distances all the time. And God taught me how to run and not pay attention to my body. Because my body would keep me failing and not being able to run the distances I wanted to run. My body would talk to me. It wanted to go. It kept acting like it couldn't do it. And my body could do it. But my body, you know, it wanted to go sit down somewhere. My body wanted to, it didn't want to. You know, your body is a lot of trouble to you, and you pay too much attention to it. Because your body talks. Let me say, you got these feelings, and your body, feelings can be really strong. I mean, their feelings can be very strong about things. Your emotions about stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, they're big liars too. They lie to us all the time, you know. People and their emotions today. People say something to somebody, didn't mean a thing by it. You know, just, you know, and but the person takes it wrong, and they're just an emotional wreck now for, you know, the next 6 weeks. Because we live in a society of people that are sick and perverted. Why? This is just why. We're a nation of Christians who have left the Word of God. That's why. So we end up dominated by our souls instead of our spirits. We're ruled. That's how you get ruled. See, you know what? If your spirit can't rule, you can't have a strong mind. If your spirit can't rule, you can't have a strong mind. You'll keep failing. You'll keep quitting and that stuff because your emotions and things will drive you. There's a scripture. I was going to read that, but there's a scripture in Proverbs. In Proverbs 21:23 says this: "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble." You want to keep your mind, will, and emotions out of trouble? Get over into your heart. Get the Word of God into your heart, so your voice isn't causing you a lot of trouble. You want to keep yourself from getting into trouble. You know, I've learned this thing about this because of mine. You know, I realized when I was unsaved, man, I was talking the wrong things all the time. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't talking the right stuff. I had to train and I had to get myself over to start saying the right things. I mean, I didn't even talk the right stuff about myself. And so, you know, most, and I'll tell you what, much of today Christianity is guided by psychology. It's guided by, most of what people talk about is more psychological than spiritual. It's become guided by it. Understand this, the psychology never and can never divide soul and spirit. Psychology says this, they find this about a person, and they say it is an unconscious mind. Well, if it's unconscious, that means it's out. It's, you know, they can't even give it a good name. You know what? What that is, there's the spirit of man. They realize there's something in a human, but they don't know what it is. I do. The Bible divides soul and spirit. Psychology only deals with the mind. That's what it deals with. It doesn't deal with your spirit. If psychologists knew anything about the spirit, they'd be over on the Word of God because that's what's for the spirit. Well, they don't give you the Word of God for your spirit. Many times Christianity, you know, I got tired of in Christianity of the so-called counselors and all this stuff because all they do is they take psychology and throw a scripture on it. But the basis of it and the idea of what they're giving you is psychological and not spiritual. You see, when I was in Vietnam, I read a number of books on psychology. I read, you know, because we didn't have nothing else to do, they'd pass books around. And so you'd read them. And I read these books on psychology, and they had these things and stuff. And when I got born again, got to be a Christian, I was given some of these Christian counseling books. And I thought, these ain't nothing but the psychology books. They just throw a scripture in here or there. They throw a scripture in there. But it's the same principles that they follow that all the psychologists follow. It's the same thing. Same junk. I'm going to tell you, you want the best book you ever read for your psyche? Amen. Here it be. This will fix you. I know. It fixed me. It works. It works. Why? Because I found out God works from the inside out. Psychology tries to work from the outside in. You take a sinner and you can give him all the psychology you want. He's still a sinner. And he's going to act out in that manner. No, you want something for the inner man. And that's the Word of God. That's for the inner man. It says in verse 13 of Hebrews 4, it says, "And there is no creature hidden from His eyes, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him of whom we must give account." So in other words, we're going to give account to ourselves. So it's important to find out what's in your heart if you're going to give account. We're going to give account. It says He sees everything. So don't worry. There's nothing hidden that we do, say, or think. Ah. See, we say we believe in a God that knows everything, but I'm going to tell you what, we live like we believe there's a God that don't. You might as well say amen or oh me, one of the two. But he says here, then he goes, listen, seeing that then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus is the Son of God. Then he said, listen what he says, let us hold fast our confession. Now we need to understand this. We're dealing in the areas of confession. Holding fast to confession. He didn't say, hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to your believing. What did he say? Hold fast to your confession. Because if you don't, your believing will go out the window. You'll end up, you know what? Your mouth will start to get into you, will begin to put into you if you're saying the wrong. Hold on. Now, what's the idea of holding on? He said, in other words, it seems like you got to hold this thing. There's something going to try to try to take it from you. And there is. You have to hold on to confession. Why? Because I'll guarantee you, if you're in true faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're believing for something you can't see, nor can you feel. You know, your body's sick, you don't feel health, but you're believing you're healed. You're trying to hold on to something. Why? Because everything is moving. Natural life is moving opposite of what God's kingdom is. This world is running in opposition. Jesus, you know, there's a storm, and Jesus, you know, number one, He walks on water. That ain't natural. You don't do that naturally. You don't do, but He steps inside the boat, and the storm stops. You know, that's not natural, is it? No, He's out there in the boat with the storm, and the great faith of the disciples are out there. They're with this guy, and all these miracles. And we're all gonna die out here. That's their confession. Thank God they didn't have the last say on the boat, or the Bible would have ended there. The New Testament would have stopped with the drowning of the disciples. But see, God's merciful. We would have all drowned at times. Get over it. You were one of the people in the boat. I know. I was a guy in the boat. I was there already. I was in the boat. You were too, you know, so get over yourself. You know. I'm so holy stuff. Say, oh, thank God Jesus was in the boat. He had mercy on my stupidity. Hallelujah. That's what He does. He's like that. Praise God. He don't quit. I'm glad He's never stopped being like that with me. You know, hallelujah. But we need to understand this. He stops it. So they wake him up and he says, peace be still. No, he says words that does not correlate at all with what's going on. They don't correlate at all with what's going on, what's happening. This is where people's problem. We know this. Lots of the times we're operating out of our psychology of what we feel, taste, hear, see. These is where we're mostly operating. and we want to go over, you're going to be have those areas. You know, and to live in the natural world, you have to have senses. You know, you have to have a sense of pain, or, you know, you'd stick your hand in the fire and just leave it there. You know, there's people who have that, I don't know what they call it, but they don't feel any pain. And they really have to be very careful in life because they don't feel pain. They can be doing something that really hurts them and is doing terrible damage to their body, and they don't know it. Then we always have the crazy people on the other side. They're doing things and know it, and they're still doing it. Yeah. I'm sure none of you were ever any of those, or maybe there's loads of Christians still doing it, doing things that are destroying their life, and they just keep doing it. But see, we need to walk in the light of this. We're supposed to hold fast. In other words, your confession, if you aren't strong at this, can easily be taken from you. And you'll start to confess what you see, feel, and those things. Even though you'll say, I know the word's true. Yeah, but you must maintain your confession. Your faith's not going to produce if you don't maintain a confession. It's one of the things that I've just learned. You don't have to be a prophet or a real spiritual or anything. I just learn over time. Is when people are in situations, I listen to how they talk. And I can tell you how things are going to work. And it's not because I have some kind of great spiritual. No, I just learned this principle. This principle. You know, people, I'm believing God for healing. But they ain't ever talking like they received it. They're always trying to lie, they're trying to get it, we're trying to do this, and everything coming up. Well, I just feel so bad all the time, and they're talking. They never stop to say, praise God, so thank God I'm healed, or thank God I'm well. You know, body, you're going to have to listen to me. You need to understand this. You've got to talk to your body. We let our body do all the talking. Our body runs and runs and runs, and we just bow to it, let it run and run and run. And every time it does something, I got to do this to keep it from getting out here too far, and it, you know, because it, you know, it's controlling, and I got to keep it. We don't use our mouth to do it. We try to use everything else. We don't ever use our mouth. See, I learned a long time ago. I have been speaking now for 4 decades concerning my body. I have been speaking about my body. I've been talking about my body. What my body's going to have to do. My body's not going to dominate. It's not going to rule. You can't do this. You can't pull out your healing card you never use all the time. And then when something happens to you, then I'm going to pull it out and we're going to play the healing card. It ain't working. Amen. You might get away with that as a baby, but God won't let you be a baby forever. You're going to have to. This is a lifestyle. Health is a lifestyle. I'd rather have health than anything. If I have health, I can always get money. I can go to work. I can do something. Dear Lord. If people spend as much time concerning their health and the idea of speaking about their health, you know, people are doing all the kind of things, you know, will spend fortunes trying to eat certain things and do certain. It's fine if you want to do that, but I'm just going to tell you what. You'd be a whole lot better with your mouth. It will produce 1,000 times more than your money will. We know this for a fact. We spend billions and billions a year on our health insurance, and it ain't improved health. I mean, with all this help, you know, Obamacare comes along and a flu comes by and everything falls apart. And all the Obamacare don't work. And it didn't work. Why? And it didn't work any better for a lot of the church. It didn't work any better because they had never been ready for it. See, I have shots I've been taking for the last 10 years that are good for 10 years ahead because I've been building up the whole time going along. We're trying to overcome. The average Christian is like United States in the Second World War. You know, we had all the threats. Germany's over there doing their stuff over there, and we're ignoring Japan. And Japan's over there building a big army, but nothing's going to happen to us, you know. And then it came along and happened. And you know why we were in a war so long? Because we were unprepared for the war. People who were prepared for the war don't go near as long. This is why it takes Christians so many years to get straightened out. because they're never doing nothing. You know, they ain't, you know, I'll take the vitamin when I turn around and I'm eating a lousy diet and my body's terrible shape, but I'll take the vitamin then when I fall over. Then we'll start taking them and we'll say, you know, when you finally, they got you in the hospital and they're doing stuff to you, trying to get your body back in shape again. See, you'd have never had to do that if you'd have done things ahead of time. See, I learned that a long time ago. I got in the Word of God and saw there's a future. And I saw one of the futures isn't too good. And I saw there was a better future. And I decided, well, how far do I want to go? I want a future. There's the thing with me, see, you know, I don't care how you take it. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I finally got a revelation off of it. He said, you know, Christians, he said, it isn't a sin to get sick, but it's a sin to stay sick. Now, see, when we think of sin, in other words, sin is this. You missed it. You're in error. See, there's times that I've found it. See, what we deal with sin lots of times, we think, well, that guy, you know, over there, he cussed, he sinned, you know. But we don't realize people not walking in the light, they're sinning. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembly yourself together. I'll guarantee you 90% of Christians don't consider that a sin. It's a sin. It's a sin. The Bible says, don't do it. Well, is it okay? No. And then all these Christians living in sin out here wondering why things don't work. But that ain't the only thing. There's all kinds of things that the Word says that are life to us. And I learned this. This stuff's life to me. There's a future that I want. There's a future that I desire. And you know what? If I'm going to be on this earth, I'll tell you what. I don't want to be walking around sick. I don't want to be messed up. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be that place. Man, I've been there. I don't want to go there again. See, a lot of people, they don't want, you know, they act like it's never going to happen to me. Well, it will. It'll come. You'll get it. It'll come eventually. Don't worry. It'll come. If you're unprepared for it. There's all kinds of people didn't think anything was going to happen. And then it comes, you know. How many people come along with the idea, well, I'm going to work in my life and I'm going to retire and have this great life. And they don't have a great life. The great life went out the window. Why? Unprepared for the future. You ain't going to get ready for that future if you ain't done nothing when that future arrives. It's not there. Now this, it might sound hard, but this is the life of faith. Why? This confession. There's something wants to rip this life out of your hands. There's something. See, we're supposed to be speaking words of life. We're supposed to be speaking these words. When things aren't going right, this is where you don't let something, whatever isn't going right, jerks that confession out of you. You don't want that to happen. It is easy to confess something when everything's wonderful and good. But when things are bad, I'll hear you talk. If I can hear you talk, I'll tell you whether you're going to work it out or not. I don't care what you say when life's pretty. It's good to say it when life's pretty. But I'll tell you what, it's much better to practice it then so when bad comes, you're saying the pretty and you're not saying the other stuff. Get this in your thoughts. See, the preparation. Hold fast. See, I see Christians. This is, you know, all the time I thank God for my salvation. I thank God I'm a child of God. I thank child of God. I go to pray to God. I don't run in and ask Him for a whole bunch of stuff right away. Number one, I approach Him. I am so thankful because I am blessed. I'm not trying to get it. I'm in the blessed category already. And every Christian is. But every Christian don't act like it when they go to God. They don't act like it. I just thank Him so much. I'm born again. You know, if you don't do those things in your voice, Satan's stealing from you all the time. Because I'll tell you what, your faith will become questionable to you. It will. See, the more I talk about, I talk about my health. I talk about my salvation. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I talk about those things. I keep them out. That is life. It's working in me. That's what's working inside of me. I keep that going. I don't let things pull back because you can put that aside. There's Christians who will go for years and years and never say a thing to God about thanking them they're saved, they're a child of God. Will not do that. And I'll tell you, eventually after a while, they start questioning their mind. They start wondering. It's all these Christians that turn around, you know, they decide they're going to die. Now we're going to try to get right with God before I leave. You know, that might be a hard thing to do because you ain't been right with Him so long, you don't even know how to get right. Yeah. Good preaching, Ed. See, I know about repenting. I don't have to wait to try to figure out if I need to do that someday. I've done that often. Get things right now. But the whole thing of it is, walking in the light of my salvation. You've got to hold on to that. Why? The more you are sound in the foundation of your salvation is going to determine how far you can go with the rest of your faith. If you become questionable about the foundation, you will build no house. Whatever, every time you step up to try to frame up the house with something you need, it's going to fall on you. The strength of your foundation. You see, healing to me, that's a foundation. It is. Hey, had Isaiah read today. If you go on and read about Isaiah, wrote what Jesus came. What did he come for? He came to take our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. That's what he came for. That's part of what he did as a foundation. If you're not strong in that foundation, the devil's going to steal from your life. He's going to steal from you, and you should expect it. He's allowed to. You see, we do things. You know, it's like a person. You know, they never fix the roof on their house, and it leaks through and leaks through after a while. And they said, I need a new roof. No, now you need the walls and everything because that water's got in all kind of stuff, and it's turned around, it's destroyed all kind of things because you just let it go. This is the church. The roof's been leaking. For years and years it's been leaking. And the walls are rotted out and they're gone. And they're walking around. All of a sudden, you know what? Everything's falling apart. I need to believe God for healing. And you know what? Ain't nothing but a struggle. It ain't nothing but a struggle. No, you keep the roof good all the time. Keep that roof good. You know, a building's foundation won't even hold up well if you let water get in. Nothing holds up. Get yourself over there. Hold fast. We're holding fast to something. Let me read you verse 15 there. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all things tempted as we are without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and to find grace and help time of need. See, if you don't know where you're at, you know, thank God we can run to God. You know, when people should have run to God 10 years ago and they didn't. Christians should have been running to God. You know, I tell you what, I run to the throne often. I need help. I wouldn't be saved if it wouldn't be. I got saved by believing words that God kindly gave somebody to preach to me. And those wonderful words brought faith to me. Without those, I wouldn't have been saved. I didn't get saved because I got smart one day. I was given wisdom by God. He gave it to me. And see, when we see ourselves in the manner that we have, hallelujah, see, we should be thrown Christians. We wouldn't every once in a while go there. You know, do you understand this? God required Israel, the men in Israel were required twice a year to go up to the temple of God. Why? That's where the presence of God was in for them. He was in that place. You had to go there. There's loads of Christians that ain't been at the throne of God for 50 years. They don't go there. All they do is yell at a distance of something they want God to do. But they're not throne Christians. They were required. If under the law they're required, it ought to be running often. Hallelujah. God is in me. We are the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in me. Are we in contact with that? See, you get yourself. Are you in contact? See, this is why we live this life and this confession. It's knowledge to us all the time. When something comes, the first thing you think of is, wow, you know, I can get a hold of this. I could, you know what to do. See, there's things I know about, you know, taking care of stuff. I know what to do if something happens. I know exactly what to do. But if I never did anything, I wouldn't know what to do. There's some people haven't done things spiritually for so long, they don't know what to do anymore when problems come. They can never get a hold of it. You know, the Bible says this, without faith, you can't please God. He didn't say without worshiping God, you can't please Him. You know, it don't say that. You can worship God all you want, sing all you want, do all you want. I'm sorry. Faith what pleases Him. God's not moved by my works. It's my faith in what His Word says. many people, we can sit here and sing songs. There ain't no more works. We can sing, and our minds are someplace else. Well, I'm going to do after church. We can sing some. Well, what about your heart? I'll tell you what. I mean, when Darlene got up and just read those scriptures this morning, I thought, the first, it just really hit me. The first name was given was wonderful. I thought, boy, he is wonderful. Oh, my God, is he wonderful. When she read that, and I thought, boy, God put that first on the list. It was wonderful. I thought, wow, I'm going to remember that. Wonderful, that's what he is. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. See, I got to place the word's life. Man, when I heard that word, I thought, oh, my God, that's him. That's the one I've been looking at in the Word. That's him. Wonderful. Yep. That named him really good. See, don't let that confession get out of your mouth. You see, when you go to God, you say, well, I'm going to Jesus. Well, I'm going to Wonderful. That's who he is. Excuse me, but I'm going to hang out with Wonderful this week. Because that's what he is. He's wonderful. How would you pray to somebody you thought was wonderful? Would you come with mine struggling, trying to get him? Not Mr. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to see Mr. Wonderful. Whoa! What is going to happen there? See, hold fast to your confession. What are you saying? See, most people are, to them, to pray and to go unto God, it is labor and it's work. It's not a joy. Faith's a joy. Faith rests. Faith isn't, you aren't in faith if you're struggling. You're not in faith. Now, we don't like to hear that. I know about it. I know about struggling and that stuff going on and finally realizing, hold it, I got to get myself to a place of faith. And as soon as I do, the struggle ends, I got it. The answer is mine, I have it. I got it. I got it. I'm not struggling through this thing. See, I learned not to worry. See, it don't matter what goes on. See, I don't worry about things. You know, and my kids growing up, as they got older, to go to things, I don't worry about my family at all. I don't worry one lick. I don't worry nothing about it. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I've learned to walk in faith with God, and God spoke to me about some things. So see, you get over and walk by faith, God will speak to you about things, and God will covenant with you on things. See, this is one thing is why we follow. There's such great blessing in this. Why? Mr. Wonderful does wonderful things. So I'm not worried about things going on. I'm not anxious or worried about it. Hallelujah. You know, these people, I pray for my family every day. Well, it doesn't do any good if you're praying and worrying about it. You're worrying about things that happen, you know. Might as well give that up for a bad job. No, God has a plan. See, I talked to Mr. Wonderful, you know, about a lot of things. You know what the Lord told me? And he told me this. He said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. You know what the problem is about people? They're praying. They're praying for their family and they ain't doing what they're supposed to do. It ain't going to work. I do what I'm supposed to do. He said, you do what I tell you to do. And he said, I'll take care of your family. Boy, is he faithful. Is he good? He said, I'll take care of it. Well, I don't think Mr. Wonderful's a liar, or he wouldn't be wonderful. Mr. Wonderful is wonderful, and he's good to his word. Hallelujah. So my job is this. My job is to do the will of God. See, I'm going to be like Abraham. See, God's just made a pattern. See, we're to be like Abraham. Abraham did the will of God, and the world was blessed. Ed does the will of God, the world gets blessing, because Ed does the will of God. You do the will of God. Quit trying to get everybody else to do the will of God and you get doing it. You did the will of God. Abraham blessed the world because he obeyed God. He wasn't born again. How about you? You're born again. You're God. And what if you do the will of God? Woo! See, the church hasn't taught these principles. The church doesn't realize how much works we put into things. See, I found out my job is to do the will of God for me and it wasn't about everybody else. When I learned, whether people listen to me preach or not, don't let it change me. Don't matter. I don't get nervous if people listen or don't listen. I don't care anymore. I don't matter. That ain't my job. My job ain't to get the people to listen. My job isn't to do that. It's to preach the truth. I just do my job and God will bless me. And he said, I'll bless your family, but he'll bless other people too. Other people get blessed by it. You can't be a blessing in this earth and not touch other people. It's the way it works. We know this and people are accursed. Doesn't it touch you? Hallelujah. Let's just be a bigger blessing than the people are that are accursed. Let's just be a bigger blessing. Hallelujah. Let's have a lot of effect. But see, what we need in this earth, we need a spirituality in Christianity. Now, I want you to look at very familiar scriptures, Mark 11. Let's go to Mark 11, because we're talking in this area about confession, and you can't get away from the subject of faith about it. You can't do it. It's about faith. Now, Mark 11, very familiar scriptures, but we're going to look at these because understanding these are the words of God. These scriptures will help you identify what's in your heart and what's going on in your head. What's going on? Now, Mark 11, first of all, it starts out and it says, verse 22 says, so Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. Now, I want you to get this. Have faith in God. Now, different ones say in some translations, have the faith of God. Well, any way that you say it, it comes down to this. You can't have faith of God or have faith in God without the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to have the faith of God, you must be able to hear the Word of God. God's Word are words of faith. Why? God is a faith God. So if you're going to have the only kind of faith that you can have that pleases God is having His kind of faith. Not the world's kind of faith, not the idea of people of faith. It's having faith in what the Word of God says. See, faith was given to us. Faith, you know, we've been saved by grace through faith. It says not of ourselves, it was a gift of God. And everybody says, well, grace is gift. Well, faith is too. They're both a gift of God. God gave you faith. Faith came by hearing His words. It didn't come by you and your great mind and thought. It came. My great mind and thought, I found out there's things I've meditated on the Word and I've gotten certain things. But one day God turned the light on to some things and it's like, oh my God, that comes. See, that's the revelation that comes from those words. That's faith that came from God. It wasn't Ed's brilliant mind all of a sudden thought of it. It rises up in me. I find this all the inside of me, there's thoughts and things going on in the inside. And if I can catch those and go over to these and know what's going on, I can get answers to things. Most people are trying to do it from the outside. They're trying to do it from their mental thought, trying to come up. No, it's on the inside. There is brilliance in you because the Holy Spirit's in you. Mr. Wonderful, the Holy Ghost, He's Mr. Wonderful also. He's inside of you. Mr. Wonderful is filled with the knowledge of God to reveal to us. So, Jesus said this. First of all, He said, you have faith in God. Well, we know this by faith. What is faith? He's going to talk to us in 23 concerning faith. He says this, so you can understand what faith is. This is how you use faith. He said, for surely I say to you, if you would take that surely, He would be saying, I'm telling you the truth. That's what it literally means. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. Now, what is the truth? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, we find two things that this individual must do. Number one, he says, you must speak words. Understand, words must be spoken. Now, those words, where are they coming from? The heart, what you believe in your heart. Now, he says this, you can't have any doubt. There is no doubt. I was, over the years, listening to Randy Greer, he would tell his story about how operating in faith to get out of prison, how he was in with life without parole. And so he set himself in a direction. God showed him what to do, is standing on the Word of God. And he talked about it until he finally got himself the revelation where he really believed he was going to get out of jail. He believed it, didn't doubt it. Well, and he gave his mama a call on the phone to tell her that he was going to get out of jail. He was going to get out on parole. It was going to work. Well, his mama, who was a spirit-filled lady, a Pentecostal, she said to Randy, "Well, don't get your hopes up." And she said to him, she said that, "Well, you got that letter. It says, you know, you're going to get out of jail in the month of none." You know, but he always says, I always looked at the calendar and I couldn't find that month, the month of none. But he said, she got a letter too in the mail about him. And she said, but the government said you're not gonna. Now this is a Christian. And you know what? Oh, he's making fun of her. The church is filled with them. I've run into all kind of so-called word people are just full of this stuff too. Wow, what's happening in the natural? Well, he believed him. Well, he said, I'm not interested in what they wrote or what they said. I'm only interested in what God's Word said. But she made this statement. Now, she said, son, don't put all your eggs in one basket. How many of you ever heard that saying? Have you heard it? How many? Well, people are ignoring. I guess they didn't. Putting what they're talking about there is, you know, you just can't rely on this one thing, you know. Don't just rely on this thing, you know. So see, what her idea was, she never realized what she is saying. You can't really rely on the Word of God. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, let me just say this. Faith is about putting all your eggs in one basket. And if they are not, you're not in faith. See, this is where I find is people have trouble. This is people trouble. People have some faith eggs in a basket. They have another basket with other things they've seen or felt. They have another basket where they have things that they've, the doctor's report, and what they've said, or somebody said this or that. And they have these different baskets. Now, they want what's in that basket over here that God's Word said they can have. But they ain't putting all their eggs in there. They're still held on to that. Well, the doctor said this, or they said this, and this is it. And they have their feelings. They have their things, their thoughts. See, the Bible says we're supposed to take every thought into captivity. People don't. You can't win at this war letting your mind go every place it wants to go. You can't let it happen. You know, the military ain't a spiritual place. But you know what? They trained us to not pay attention to the other thing. You're trained to do this and that in the middle of a battle, and you just do. That's what you do. You don't get sidetracked over into this and what's happening over there. No, you're here at this spot, and this is what you do here. And you don't. And you know, they train you. And you know what? You decide you're going to do it because they make life so miserable that you decide you're going to do it because it ain't worth not to. Because that drill sergeant ends up being worse to you than the enemy. And you decide, I'm going to obey him because I ain't putting up with it. See, people don't know about that today. We don't have that discipline in people. Why? Because people today think anything, go any direction they want. And, well, we're free to do this and nobody's allowed to say nothing, or you're being mean, or you're being... No. So we have lousy lives. People don't get help. Lives are messed up. The church is a big place where it goes on. We call it love, and it ain't no love in it. We let the devil steal, kill, and destroy, and won't stand up and say, that's wrong, that's out of line, stop it. No, you don't have to work, you don't have to do this, we'll feed you, we'll take care of you, we'll do all this stuff, and you just keep messing up, and you just keep doing whatever you want. We're going to take care of things, because we're just loving. And things just get to be more of a mess, and more of a mess, and more of a mess. And there's no discipline. The Christian life success is based in discipline. It's based in controlling mind. There's no such thing. If a person's mind is out of control, it's because they have allowed it to go out of control by not taking thoughts into captivity and keep opening it up till the devil dominates their mind. The devil operates in their thinking till their bodies get so messed up they can't think right anymore. Because why? They didn't take the word shot 10 years earlier and keep taking that. No, they just kept taking whatever's offered in the natural and offered in the natural. And the natural will blow up on you. It always does. COVID came along and you'd have thought we were in a third world country. Because we had third world thinking. We thought bad. The church thought bad. Why? People got away from the Word. Thank God. Not everybody did, but a lot did. They got away from. They got over here. They hadn't been taking the shot. See, I had my flu shots years ago, and I just took them all the time. And my flu shots are right here in this. I've been taking them with my mouth all the time. I wasn't walking around and saying, well, I'm just believing the Word. No, I was saying the Word. I was taking the shots. I would say, I'm not getting the flu. I'm not having the flu. I didn't decide that when COVID came. I've been doing that since 1980. I ain't had the flu since 1980. Why? I take my flu shot all the time. I take flu shots constantly. Monthly I take flu shots. See, this is the thing. It's a way of life. Why would it be so hard and working so hard to say good things? People are like, his confessions work. His confession's wonderful. It's a great thing. It keeps me inspired. You know, I stayed away from, you know, running here for a number of years here. I wasn't doing any of it. And so, you know, you go back out. It ain't like, oh boy, you're just this real cheerful thing you're going to start doing. This is exciting. But you know, I started immediately to do. I started talking my body. I started seeing what the Word says. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is inside me, making my body alive. And you know, my thoughts come to, well, you're 75 years old. That's the thoughts that come. You're 75. Well, it's 75. See, I'm supposed to be retired according to, you're supposed to be retired and go sit down somewhere and let the devil dominate your health now from here on out. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're supposed to do. Just let the devil dominate your health way out here and, you know, and get yourself, you know, a good walker and get this and that. Get your gear out because it's a coming. So, you know, make sure you get a good health program that pays for that stuff, you know, because you are going to need it. I don't even know if mine does. I don't even read my health program. They have all this free stuff. You can go check the doctor. I ain't been a... I have my health checkup every day. Glory to God. But you know, I talk, I go out and run. And I tell my body. You know, my body sometimes says, you know, you don't have to do this. And I, you know what I tell my body? You're going to shut up and do this because, just because you said I don't have to, I'm going to do it. See, my body has learned. I don't treat it good. I tell it to shut up when it wants a whine. Say, no, just for opening your mouth, saying something, I'm going to run. That's what I'm going to do. You shouldn't have said that. It's amazing how it'd get quiet. Your head would get a lot quieter if you'd do something about it. You would nearly put up with the battles you do in your mind if you'd finally get fed up with what your mind's doing to you. You can really, I'll tell you what, I've watched people who can do it. It's amazing through things that people went through. Strongly, and I look back and say, man, the average Christian couldn't last 15 minutes doing what they did. Couldn't last 15 minutes. Why? There are people who have learned how to not. I will not be put down by what's going on. I will not let my mind dominate me. I'm heading in this direction. This is what I'm going to do. I mean, you think, you know, the Apostle Paul, I mean, the first time he got yelled at of his most Christian day, he'd have quit. He would have never waited to get stoned. He'd have caused the first greyhound out of town. He would have. You know what? You don't get raised from the dead. You don't have miracles if you don't get killed. Yeah. We wouldn't talk about miracles. We don't want anything bad to happen. I'm sorry. Miracles come and bad stuff happens. Hallelujah. But you decide it ain't happening to you. Good preacher. This is about confession. This stuff comes, see, if you set yourself in the right direction. See, when the Lord said He was going to teach me my faith by my military training. See, this is the whole thing. Number one, they put you in a situation you didn't have time to sit around and think about you and your problems. We have too much, we have too much leisure. I know we have too much leisure because the people spend so much time on their phones. We know that most people, everybody has a lot of time for leisure. They say they don't, we're so busy. Yeah, sure. Yeah, give me a break on that one. We spend so much time on them. We have time. In other words, and I'm just going to tell you that. The more time you set yourself where you let your mind wander and don't have it in something significant, you're going to become a playground to things. As number one, you get on your phone, that's a playground you don't want to play. It's too much stuff there. Too much information. Too much news. We take things as being true and don't even know if it is true. You know, a news media says something and we just take it, well, it was true. We say, well, how does it know? They got a point, they can say anything, I don't know. We have all kinds of people, stuff's been said about them, it ain't been true. But you know what? It's still reported as being true, yet it never happened. The person never did it. But it's still reported. See, we can't get into that kind of thing. The Bible talks about that kind of stuff. Tale-bearing rumors and all that kind of stuff. What it does. See, we don't even know if things are true anymore. You know, now people say, well, I walk by faith. They say, you know, I got to be able to see. You do all kind of things. You know, they people say, well, you know, believing the word's hard. They listen to the news and the news can say anything and they'll believe it just like that. And they were never even there. They never saw it happen. Just because the God of their phone said it. And they believe it. You know? People say, well, I can only believe what I see. You know, and I always tell the story because, you know, I remember Three Mile Island when that thing took place. And all them people, they were worried about the radiation. They were saying the radiation, and they had a radiation leak, and it was going. And all these people were leaving. Well, they were all leaving, and because they said there was radiation, nobody saw it. You didn't see the radiation. But everybody believed it was there because they said it. And you turn around and talk about a God you can't see, and people, well, it's hard to believe what you can't see. Stupid stuff. No, but if a person says it, people will always believe a person faster than they will God. Most Christians, the average Christian, will believe what a person says before they'll believe God. See, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, don't believe it because I say it. You go to the Word and see if it says it. See, my foundation's not in the Word, not in Kenneth Hagin. Because, you know, no man knows everything, but God does. And you got to go look. You got to go look. And you go to the Word and you look. If you say to this mountain, in other words, now, and let me just say, I'll say this, and I'm not saying to be critical of Kenneth Hagin, but I heard Kenneth Hagin say it, and I'm going to tell you he's wrong concerning the Word. He made a statement one time and said about this. He said, he's not talking about actually moving mountains. He's talking about the mountains in your life. I'm sorry, he didn't say that. When I read that scripture, I said, Kenneth Hagin, you're wrong. The Bible don't say that. He was standing on the Mount of Olives when he said that. He said, if you say to this mountain. Because we found out Jesus told him that if they could tell this mulberry tree to be pulled up by the roots and thrown, he didn't say that mulberry tree's in your life. I ain't got one. I don't have a mulberry tree. The Lord gave me a revelation as a young Christian. He said, do you notice that I never prayed about animate objects? I only ever spoke to them. Look at his ministry. Things that were naturally in this earth, he spoke to them. Well, see, when I got that revelation, I got this about your tongue, James said, and your body. You can control your whole body. You can pray all you want about your body. You need to talk to it. I never pray about my body. My body's a natural physical thing in this earth. And just as you can stop storms, you can move mountains, you tell your body. You talk to your body. You tell it what it's going to do, not let it dictate what it's going to do. Well, I can't do this or that. I have this problem. Well, that's right, you can't. You'll never be able to because you don't shut up. You said you can, so you can't. It's like the Lord reminded me of the thing about I had said years and years ago, and I'd talk about I was going to be able to, you know, as I got older, I'm going to be able to run, you know. 75, 80 years old, I'm going to be able to go out and run. Well, see, I said that years and years ago, See, I'd already set a future. I'm just living in my future, I started from that. That's all. See, we don't understand the power of this thing. But it's there in the Word, and we see it, and it's written in the Word. It's written right there for us, yet we're not doing it. See, this is a powerful thing. See, I learned some things, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if they even do it in anymore, but I know one of the things that Kenneth Hagin, I've heard him say a number of times, but probably not in their teachings anymore about their, they put out about him, but these things he said. But he said this, if you don't like the way your life turned out, he said, you're the reason it did. He said, don't blame somebody else. You are. When I first heard that, I thought that was a hard thing. See, I was a young Christian. I was just born again. I thought that was hard. But then I got looking in the Word and I thought, my God, this man's right. I can set my destiny. I can. Wow, that was a wonderful thing. You know, like people think, oh man, that's a big burden. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. I finally got control over something. All the time, I was controlled. If you don't take a hold of this, you will be controlled. You will be controlled. You'll be controlled by other people, by demonic powers. You will be controlled. See, a lot of people think, you know, I realize, you know, you can keep the devil out of a lot of things by planning your future to start to be able to speak. You got to speak your future. You know, while you're sitting around, you know, you get older, you need to get a will. You know, you're going to need more than a will. You know, I wrote out my spiritual will of how my life was going to be. This is what I'm willing for my future. But now, number one, I was in the Word enough and I stayed in it till I could see I could do this, not because somebody just preached it to me. You're not going to do this and make it work just because you heard me say it. You got to be convinced in your heart that you can do this. You got to become convinced. And you ain't going to kind of just, it's good to listen to other people preach it, but you're going to have to go to the Scriptures. Is this it? Things you're going to have to... See, I spent a lot of times, I meditate on things, on Scriptures, till all of a sudden I know that, wow, that I got. Now I got that. I have it. I have that. I have seen things and I knew the Scripture said it, but it really wasn't mine yet. It wasn't the place where I'm going to be able to stand and make this work. I got to get it till I know on the inside of me that now... I'll tell you what. See, many times the average Christian and spiritual Christian does this. Most of their confessing is trying to convince themselves that it's true. Once you're convinced that it's true, you don't have to say it 47 times. You know why you confess the Word? It ain't for God. God knows His Word works. We confess it for our sake. Most Christians confess the Word trying to convince God of something, you're already not in faith. I am never trying to convince God to do His Word. He already wants to do that. That's why He gave it. We're not trying to convince God of a thing. I don't make confession. I heard a major minister years ago made the statement, after I confessed such and such, and he gave a number 400 and some times, he said it came to pass. And I thought, boy, God was merciful to that faithless guy. Dear Lord, God didn't do it because he confessed it and confessed it. He probably took him 400 some times until he finally believed it. Faith will produce it. God don't do it because you say it so many times. Jesus didn't say, if you speak to this mountain 400 times a day for the next 6 months, this mountain will move and be gone in the sea. He said, if you just say it and you believe in your heart, it'll be done. Once and done. You know what? I didn't confess more than one time to get saved. Did you? How many of you? Did you have to do it week after week and week after week to say it till you got saved? You see, we have confessions about us. We maintain our confession. That's to keep me on the straight and narrow. It's not about God. It's to keep my faith alive. It's to keep me so I don't get over and let it get pulled out of my hand. Why? Because I'm the one that determines if this comes to pass, not God. God's Word is life. It will produce what it said. If he don't, he's a liar. We're not trying to get God to do it at all. He already said it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raising the dead, you will be saved. It just works. All it is, whose side was it on to do? It was on my side to do that. It came to pass. The Word was already, hey, it'll work. Yeah. If you do that, it'll work. You know, it's like putting somebody a gun, put a bullet in the chamber, and God can say, here, pull the trigger, it'll shoot. Well, it didn't take nothing for you to do. Just pull the trigger. I gave you the gun, put the bullet in it. It's got to work if you pull the trigger. Not the church. The church runs around trying to, like we're working this thing, trying to get God to do something. We're not working trying to get God to do this. His word is life. Hallelujah. There's no lie in Him. Hallelujah. What He says, He will do, the word says. He will do. And so He asks us to believe that He will do. Now, we go on. We'll close Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24 says this, because of this principle of believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. He goes, therefore. Therefore what? Because of believing in your heart and saying something with your mouth. Therefore, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, this is not some strange saying. This same Jesus had said to His disciples, you guys, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He'll give it to you. That's all He's saying here. If you ask in My name, He will give it to you. Oh, praise God. Then I got His mind. He gave it to me. That's what this principle is. You got to believe He gave it to you. If you're believing for it, you ain't believing He gave it to you. We wait patiently for it, but we believe we have it, that it's ours. He gave it to me. That's what we believe. We believe we receive it, you'll have it. Most people never believe they receive it. They only believe they receive it when it shows up, when they see it. Then, I've heard people do this all the time, and I realize how little faith they were in when it showed. They said, I just got healed, you know, and this stuff. But they were prayed for weeks ahead. But they didn't believe they got it till it showed up. They got healed just on the mercy of God. But they swear they did some faith. There wasn't faith in it. Hallelujah. They never believed they received it. See, when you believe you receive it, then it'll show up. And not till then. And it's not going to show up till you believe it's yours. Now I have it. Glory to God. See, I'm believing something. I already believe I got it. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. See, I learned it. That worked in the areas. I learned it, like with finances. Like when Wanda and I started, we wanted to go on vacation and that stuff. And we didn't have the money to go on vacation, but we declare so much money to go on vacation. It wasn't, but we believe we had it. We believe we had it so much, we acted like it. We'd make reservations and we'd make plans. No money. No natural money, but I knew I had money. I knew I had it. I knew we had the money. I knew we had it. Why? Because if I asked the Father for anything in His name, He said, Jesus said, He'd give it to you. Well, was that true or not? Now, I know this. If you go to most churches, listen to most ministers, they'll make 27 different exceptions for the rule. Jesus didn't make exceptions for the rule. But the reason faith don't work, because they have made exceptions to the rule. No, we would do this so we'd make plans. And then you know what we'd do? We would do with our mouth and go tell people, we're going on vacation, we're going to such and such, we're going to do this. We'd have dates set and everything. Not a nickel. We didn't have a nickel to go. But we said with our mouths. We said with our mouths. We told people this, yep, you know, August 20th, we're leaving, go to such and such. We're going to do this or we're going to do that. Will you tell people? This is what we're going to do. No money. We just use a credit card. You can make reservations with a credit card. You know, you don't have to have any money up front to make a reservation. We're going to be staying at such and such. This is what we're doing. Never one time did we not have the money come in. Not one time. Not one time. It always came. This is what most people, I'm believing God for the money. And they are not acting like they have it. They're not making a plan. You know? I'm believing God for a car. Were you planning like you're going to get one? You actually acting like you're going to get one? See, I'd go around and tell everybody, I'm getting a new car. You know, I'm in such and such. This is what I'm going to do. Say, where'd you get the money? Well, God. God gave me the money for the car. Well, you don't look like you have the money. See, we're on two different planets. I'm on the faith planet, and you're on the devil's planet where the world system operates. No, this is what I have. Now, you got to get yourself that you can believe in the amount you want or whatever it is. You're going to have to believe that. You just can't go around and say everything you want and you don't believe, because you're going to have a hard time trying to do that. Because you're really going to battle your mind. I never had one time in doing a thing like that that the money came in right away. Every time, it was right before you needed it. And see, if you ain't good at keeping your mind, if your mind is allowed to wonder concerning the Word of God, is this thing working? Uh-huh. What if it don't come? See, God taught me, and sometimes, you know, the hard things, like, you know, he, first mission trip he ever told me, he goes, he tells me go on a mission trip. I didn't have any money. Well, and I told him, I said, I'll go take a trip. And we were at Bible school, and I said, but I ain't taking the family's money. I said, you're the one who told me to go. You're going to supply the money to go. Because I ain't taking the family's money. I said, you're going to supply the money. So, but see, these are things where he tested. You know, God will test your faith. Have you been good at it or not? See, you have to find this out. See, he told me, well, I went and he said, well, you know, they said you're going in this thing. First thing he told me, he said, you can't tell anybody you're going. Because they had this thing and you can send letters to people and tell them you're going. So, you know, well, you know, actually you can do that. Don't take a bit of faith to do that. You can. I mean, God may have you do that and tell you to do that. He told me you can't do that. You ain't allowed to. So I ain't allowed to tell anybody. So I did tell Wanda, told her, I'm going on this mission trip. Hallelujah. And I just told the Lord, you know how much money it is? You're going to have to bring it in because this is me. This is how I operate. If the money don't come, I don't have to go. It's just that simple. See, I ain't the one that sent me. He's going to have to do this. See, people get into worry about that. Well, what if it don't come? What if... God told me to do something and it don't work. Tough, that's on him. It ain't on me. I didn't tell me to go to Peru on a mission trip. He did. So he's responsible. See, you think you're responsible, don't you? See, you think God tells you to do something, you think you're responsible to make it work. Uh-uh. I worked in bosses. I didn't come into work and they made me pay for the machinery they needed. They didn't come to work and say, you know, hey, we got taxes due. You better get your wallet out so you'll have a place to work here, you know. Oh, I work for God. He's the one that pays the bill for his work. Amen. He has to do that. Well, you know, it came down to, you know, I'm about a week away from, you know, you have to have the down payment on. And I ain't had a nickel for down payment. I didn't go look at my bank account. I ain't doing it. It don't come out of Ed's bank account. I ain't working for Ed. A guy gives a call out of the clear blue and says, I heard, now this is a guy that had not, it was really strange because, I mean, I knew him and stuff, but I mean, he wasn't a guy that I ever thought that would catch him do something like that. But he said, I heard when you go to Bible school, sometimes they go on mission trips. Are you going to go on one? Now, you know that's God, don't you? Because how would, I mean, this is just the craziest thing in the world. And I said, yeah, I am. He said, I'm going to send you some money. And he sent me the amount of money that I needed to do my down payment. So then you had so many more weeks and you'd have the rest of the money. Well, that went on. And a guy gave me a call and said, God told me you're doing something and you need money. And this said, I hadn't said anything. See, I'm glad God put me through these things. Because I learned how to stand without running around trying to tell everybody else about it and trying to figure out how I'm going to get everybody else to give to me. Because, you know, God did it. And I learned through these things, I can trust Him. I can trust Him that He'll do it. And this guy called and he said, I heard you're doing something. You need some money. I said, well, so I'm going on a mission trip. He said, how much you need? And I told him the amount. He said, I'll send you a check. And he sent a check. And I went and gave it, paid for it. Now, they didn't come into the last week, you know, and each time. Now, you had a lot of time in between there. You won the money. There's one thing I did. I made sure I never kept my thoughts over in the area of that. I stayed away from that. I didn't talk to God about it. Because people get over talking to God and all they do is ruin their own mind. Because they're doing over there because they're worried about the thing. Are you sure, God, you're going to do this? You're going to... But I learned, stay away from that. Because my mind wanted to go. Your mind wants to go over there. You know, it's like Randy Greer said. He said, that there paper I had that said, you know, you ain't getting out in a month or none. He said, the devil kept reminding me I got that paper. So he said, I got to get rid of this paper. I got to get rid of this thing. Because why? It wants to take me away from faith. See, there's things you need to get out of your mind. You need to lose your mind. It will do you some good. staying away from certain thoughts of things. When you set yourself in faith, you're going to have to take hold of your confession. And when anything, the best, this is one of the best things that you can do. When thoughts come contrary to the direction you're believing, you say what you believe. You need to say it with your mouth. See, well, I'm trying to think happy thoughts. You're going under. Forget it. The power is in saying. When you hear yourself say those words, I will guarantee you they'll bring strength to you. It's the words of faith that will bring strength and ability to you. That's what you do. You speak those words out because thoughts come. And you speak words out of faith. I'm going to tell you, you want to be able to hold the devil back in his voice? How did Jesus do it? It is written. You ain't going to put him at bay thinking stuff. You get your voice a running. Don't pay any of those attention to those people and say, you're crazy if you talk to yourself. Did you ever think they were very brilliant? I never met one of them that had any good sense. I'm sorry. My voice, God has made power through His Word. My voice is the power of God. When I'm believing the Word in my heart and I'm speaking it with my mouth, God's power is released. It's God's power. People can make fun of me and say whatever they want to. I have a choice. God's power or get a pat on the back from people. I'm going with God's power. God has made a system, and it's contrary to the world system. It's contrary to how we think. It's contrary to the natural. But you know what? This system's, over the years, has become natural to me. And I look at other people and I think, oh, they're messed up. this system works. God will do what He said. Amen. Or He has to. Or His Word is not life. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion before we go today. Praise God. See, I just really felt I was supposed to really, preaching these things. It's really, get just downright into brass tacks about this. Because things ain't going to get easier in this world. There's a war. Satan's not going to go lay down. He's going to come knocking on people's door and knocking on people's door. We have, we want to bring things, we want to bring God's will and purpose to pass. We must be fearless concerning speaking it, concerning your own lives and speaking it about your life, speaking it about around you. I tell you, give up on this, the worry and distresses of life and the things that are happening out here and going on. It isn't we're not concerned there's things happening, but we can't let them wear on our mind and stop because they will turn around and start robbing you of faith. Because if they start wearing on your mind, I will guarantee you, you're going to start saying things. Contrary to what you desire in your heart and you want to bring to pass. We don't want to go there. God's power can only be released from your inner man by your voice. That's how it comes out. It's a powerful thing. Say, well, how can that be? That seems strange. It's the principle of the Bible. It's strange to everything else. You know, people say money talks. I'm sorry, Ed talks. Money, if money's your voice, don't worry. You'll have a hard time with it one day. Because one day it won't deliver you. One day you'll get a disease money can't buy a cure for. Hallelujah. But God's Word stands forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's true. When I think about that, I think about He's wonderful. He's absolutely wonderful. That He put into our hands in this earth of what we do and what we say. My God. He's given it to us. Amazing. Hallelujah. He sure does love mankind. He sure does love us. Father, I just want to say thank You this morning. I thank You, Lord, as we come to the communion elements, Lord God, they're just a reminder of us of the fellowship with You. Hallelujah. They're just reminders of how good You are, how wonderful, what You did for us. It's absolutely phenomenal. Hallelujah. Lord God, to us, they are proof that You're wonderful. They're proof of your richness, of your glory. They're the proof of it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we take these elements. Lord God, we know there's not life in those things, but there's life in our faith for the remembrance it brings us to about you. Oh, my words, of what you have done to us. Lord, these elements don't save us. We are saved. Hallelujah. We are your children. We have life working mightily in us. And we want to just say thank you for that. And thank you, Lord God, for reminding us today how wonderful our Master is, our Lord and Savior, of what He did through His death, burial, resurrection, the shedding of His blood, hallelujah, for our deliverance and our great salvation. Hallelujah. He took the punishment, and we got all the blessing. And we just say thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.